You're listening to SBS News.
More than 2,400 children have had a parent die from Ebola. Another 4,079 have been separated from their families since the outbreak began in Congo in August last year. Over 4 days this week, 23 cases of Ebola have been recorded in the country, where deadly violence is hampering efforts to end the 16-month-old epidemic. World Vision's Brianna Piazza visited Congo earlier this year in July and August. She says children who survived the disease and the death of their parents still face many challenges.
Affording rent or something as simple as food, it sort of leaves children in limbo, and it is a very real threat to their lives, because we know from past experience that when you see this decline in income in families, they turn to negative coping strategies sometimes, and that can be really devastating for children. So, for example, instead of going to school, children might be instead engaged in labour on the streets, or they might be looking at other harmful practices just to get by. So it really robs children of their childhood, and not to mention the psychosocial and the emotional impact that has as well.
The report Beyond Ebola shares the fears of 139 children in the epicentre of the Ebola epidemic, North Kivu, in Congo. 70% of Ebola survivors interviewed said they felt ostracised by their friends. 33% said their family made them feel like outcasts. 15-year-old Ebola survivor Sarah says in the northeastern city of Beni, her neighbours don't believe she's no longer contagious, and many children refuse to play with her.
In my neighbourhood, there are many people. Most of them have understood. But there is one part of the neighbourhood that hasn't believed it. There is one section in particular where they don't believe it. There's two households where they refuse to even let the children to come to my house. Even if you explain it to them, they still don't understand.
This boy, also living in Beni, says many child survivors feel isolated.
With Ebola, we don't have access to several games because parents have forbidden us to play for fear of being infected. At school, we do not follow the lessons, and we are afraid to sit together on the same bench to touch. Many people are afraid to approach children who have recovered from Ebola and those whose homes have been touched by Ebola.
The UN's World Health Organization and Médecins Sans Frontières says they've been forced to temporarily withdraw locally employed Ebola workers because of attacks against health workers. In North Kivu, this girl says the violence has forced her to move again and again.
I have been displaced several times. We go from one place to another when the soldiers begin shooting and shouting and telling people to go away. Then we see bombs bursting and killing people, which I cannot describe.
17-year-old Ghislaine says the stigma surrounding the disease has been one reason she stopped going to school after both her parents died from Ebola in July. Along with her 3-year-old sister, Ghislaine has written a letter to Australian Prime Minister Scott Morrison asking for the country to step up its aid. Ghislaine says she and her sister are being cared for by their uncle and aunt, but because they're already caring for 5 children of their own, things are tough.
Ebola has affected my family, and we are very sad, really very sad. We're very sad because we lost our mother's and father's love. We were separated from them. We were alone while our parents were going to different health centres here and there. All our money was used for medical bills, and we were very sad at home.
Ms. Piazza says more funding is desperately needed to combat Ebola globally, and she's urging the Australian government to urgently increase its contribution.
Just because Ebola is affecting a country in Central Africa where not many Australians go, or we might not really have strong ties with necessarily, these are people. And all it takes is one case for it to spread across the border into other parts of the region. And if it does that, then all it takes is one person travelling internationally on a plane to spread it to Europe or the rest of the world. So look, the chance of that happening at this stage has been classified as quite low. But the point is, you never know. And we shouldn't just wait until Ebola reaches Australia's shores to actually do something about it. We should try and be proactive and take action.
The number of new Ebola cases in the country has dropped from about 100 a week in August to about 10 a week. But Ms. Piazza says with the disease still active, the risk of resurgence is real.
It could still be months, potentially even another year, till we see this come under control. But definitely, I think we shouldn't forget that children who have not only survived Ebola but also lost parents, this is going to affect them for years and years to come and for the rest of their life, emotionally and financially. So that is what we're also very worried about at the moment.
The second largest Ebola outbreak in history has so far killed more than 2,000 people. Biwa Kwan, SBS News.